This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Gophers playing in the Frozen Four. Minnesota Wild playing for playoff positioning. Let's tackle both. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Tom Chorsky, one of our frequent contributors because he's really good at what he brings to the table. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Maxie. How are we tonight?
We're doing pretty good. I mean, the eve of a big game in the Frozen Four, the Twins' home opener delayed by a day, but it's still coming. It's there's a lot of fun stuff in this town right now. You know, the Wild in it, the Timberwolves in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we just got to get the weather right, and we'll be really good.
Yeah, good. You handle that. We can play pond hockey outdoors again here. We just had Matt Kowalska, and he was in Boston with Steve Urban. They were touring the town, as they say, in the old city. What was the furthest you went as a Gopher?
I played in the Frozen Four all 3 years I was there, and I lost the national championship game in overtime.
To
Harvard.
Oh, you were on that team that hit the pipe?
Yep.
Gosh, I'm getting old.
Yep.
That was at the old St. Paul Civic Center. Explain what happened.
Yeah, well, 1989. Well, we actually had to play back-to-back games. Back then, Harvard played the night before. Then they sat and watched us play Maine. And then we played them on Saturday night. And we had an awfully good team. You know, Dave Snuggerud, Todd Richards, Rob Stauber. I mean, just a ton of guys. Hankinson, and I played with Bischoff and Miller. And but we, you know, it was kind of back and forth and back and forth. And then we got into overtime. And Randy Skarda came down and hit the post from about the top of the circle, right shot from the right side. And everyone kind of thinks and feels like they picked up the puck and went right back down and scored. But that's not exactly what happened. It felt like that, but there was probably, you know, another face off in between there, and for sure there was a face off in our defensive zone, and the puck kind of squirted. There was a bit of a scramble, and one of the Harvard guys just got a hold of it, and he took one step and he kind of backhanded it towards the net, and it was going through some legs and feet, and Stauber kind of went down to try to find it, and as he went down, it went right between his legs and underneath him, and that was it. It was just heartbreaking and kind of shocking, but they had a pretty good team. They had the Hobie Baker winner that year, Lane McDonald. He was an awfully good player, and then they had handful of kids, you know, that we wouldn't really have known around here, but some of them went on to play pro hockey. So they were a good hockey team.
Minnesota State, Mankato, and the Gophers. First of all, what does it mean to have all these good teams in Minnesota? Well, I know you're a former Gopher, but you also have an appreciation for to have this many good programs in Minnesota. First of all, Herb Brooks would be smiling, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm proud of it at this point. You know, certainly I know Brett Larson up in St. Cloud, Sandlin in Duluth, Saratori in Bemidji, and Mike Hastings and down in Mankato. I know all those guys a little bit, but they all do such a great job. They make our state proud all the time. All of their teams are, you know, pretty highly ranked throughout their seasons. And the fact that we get down to, you know, the final eight in the last few years, and it looks like we might have, you know, we'll have at least two Minnesota teams representing, and sometimes three. And we're kind of blessed with riches of some very good hockey teams. And then, you know, we probably should tip our cap to St. Thomas for coming into Division I hockey too.
Yeah, that's a lot right there. Bob Mosco, since he got the job, of course, this has been the mission and the goal. How has he done as a head coach?
Oh, I think he's done great. You know, he pumps some energy back into the program, and he plays a pretty offensive and on your toes style. And I think he's able to bring in some. He's got some good players. Excuse me, I like the makeup of the team with the veterans like Ben Myers, and you know, Justin Close has come in and done a great job in goal when it looked like, you know, we were losing this kind of stud goalie, and he comes in and goes 14-4. Few shutouts. In fact, he shut out Western Michigan, a really good team, you know, for them to get to the Frozen Four. And so I think he's got them playing right now about as well as the Gophers could be playing. And he tinkered with lines early, and I think there were some young guys that were disgruntled a little bit. You know, they wanted to play a little more, but he's pulled all the right levers, and I think that's going to be the key. He's got to keep doing that for a couple more games, and hopefully this layoff, which is always hard to deal with, it doesn't stop their momentum.
Minnesota State Mankato, I mentioned Dryden McKay, they got a 17-game win streak. They've got an older team. They beat the Gophers last year to go to the Frozen Four. They're a heavy team. They're a tough team. Handicap that piece of it to me. How difficult is it to play against a team like that?
Well, it can be difficult, you know, if they stay really disciplined, and I think it'll be a bit of a chess match. But you know, sometimes those teams will say, "Well, we're gonna go and try and hammer their young guys and their skill guys," and if they get a little too exuberant, you know, and take some penalties, then the Gophers can respond with some pretty high end talent and. On the power play, and I think their power play's been clicking pretty well, and they got some good guys back there on D and Faber and Lacombe and Johnson, and so you know it's gonna be a chess match. It's really gonna be probably try to you know keep it close from both ways. No one really wants to get into a track run deal with high scoring and. Justin Close is going to have to stand on his head. And I think, you know, some of these young guys like Pitlick and Bros are going to have to really rise up and play. And maybe some of the middle tier guys, we're going to need kind of a unexpected hero to step up and score a big goal.
Let's move over to the Minnesota Wild. They lost last night to Nashville. Nashville was 3-for-3 to open their power play. That's pretty good. Johansson gets two, ends up with a hat trick, and they lose. I don't know that that's a big deal, the 6-2 loss, because they've been playing pretty well. You look at the West and you study it close, and now that's what's really this is about, is the playoffs and the playoff matchups. What's the, let's just say, the best avenue for the Wild to get to the Western Conference Finals would be if they played who? Who would they need to draw in those first two rounds, ideally?
Yeah, they've got 14 games left. You know, there's going to be a little bit of a focus on them trying to, I think, set the all-time record for most wins.
Yep.
In the season. And
they're still not going to be anywhere near Colorado, you know?
No, right. And Colorado is obviously the juggernaut. They've still got a couple games coming up that will really be, you know, good tests for them. You know, St. Louis will be a good test for them. And then they got to get through some teams, Dallas. So, you know, we see where they end up, but they're just, you know, I don't know. It's such a tight race, and the teams in their division that they're going to face are all going to be pretty good. And I don't know how much there is to home ice advantage. We've talked about that in the past, that often there isn't, and it doesn't seem like there's much. But the way this team seems to be, you know, able to play. Yeah, they kind of laid an egg in Nashville. You mentioned it, the power play got the Nashville power play got out of the gate strong, and Minnesota just was chasing it and played from behind the whole night. Empty net goal, six goals, makes it sound kind of bad, but they don't seem too rattled about that. They've been playing great. They had 10 game
point streak,
or 10 game point streak, so that was pretty solid. Marc-Andre Fleury played well against Washington. You know, I think when they get into the playoffs, I think their attitude is just going to be whoever we get, and I don't know if we can predict which team would be the easiest one, you know, but we'll see in the next 14 games what shakes out.
Would you be comfortable with them rotating goalies on a game-by-game basis, or do you think you got to settle on one and just the other one's relief?
I think you settle on one probably in general or out of the chute into the playoffs. Start with that hot hand, but I think at this point we feel like that whoever's backing up is certainly capable and competent and ready for the big stage and can handle it. And then once you get into a series, if you do switch goalies, it starts to become a little bit of a feel thing, but they can either, you know, they can either ride a guy, and then if they get through that first series, they can reevaluate and maybe start the other guy. They've got kind of different, and they look pretty closely at why start one guy over another guy. But typically you want to have one guy that's, you know, the hot hand, and then maybe occasionally if a game gets out of hand, you want to pull him out and not have him finish the game so you can start him again the next game if a game is going to be a loss. So again, it's kind of game by game when you get to the playoffs, when you have a tandem like Talbot and Marc-Andre Fleury, both capable. So I think, you know, likely see both of them at times.
Last question, Tom. Explain Dean Evason. You got to know him well as an assistant coach before he was a head coach. Obviously, he's had success since he took over for the Minnesota Wild. Explain who he is and how he goes about his business.
Yeah, you know, I played against him too.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't know him personally, but you know, just I can speak to, he was a very gritty player. You know, I guess back you'd say undersized.
A grinder,
but he did put up some pretty good numbers for a few years, and then as he got a little bit longer into his career, he became, you know, he settled into a more of a grinder defensive role, penalty killer, was good in faceoffs. But you know, anytime you get these guys that that had a legitimate NHL career and they had an identity that included, you know, being a hard worker, but yet, you know, was able to score some offense. So he wasn't a complete grinder with no offensive abilities, but and had a long career, played a lot of games. You know, now he's got a little bit of cachet with the players, a little bit of respect. And that's just his persona, right? I think he's a good combination of a history of working hard as a player, but he certainly seems well versed on today's game. He's got some really skilled players that he lets play skill. The last time I was kind of watching their team, you know, a lot of puck possession. They're not just dumping and chasing and always having to retrieve the puck from below the goal line. Whether they're in the neutral zone and regrouping with the puck, sometimes they start to come up the ice and then they don't like what they see and they go back. I think we see a lot of puck possession and rotation in the offensive zone, and that's why guys like Kaprizov and Zuccarello are they have that skill and that chemistry. And then they got some Foligno's and Eriksson Ekholm and guys that can get to the front of the net and cause some havoc, and they play pretty gritty. They've added a little bit of toughness in Laurier and on the blue line there. So good little mix of players. And I think Coach Evason, just having played as long as he played and played in that era, and then he's well versed in this era. and he's just got a team of a good combination of grit and skill, and he's kind of got it figured out, and he doesn't seem to panic and get down on the guys when they do have kind of an off game, and they bounce back and then they go on another run. So hopefully they learn from Nashville and regroup a little bit. Sometimes you got to go through a loss to kind of, you hit the reset button and figure out what you got to do and what you did wrong. And now they can probably go down this stretch here, win their fair share of games, and maybe hit that milestone, which will pump a little more energy into them. And likely, I think what we see is them going into the playoffs with a lot of momentum.
Tom, always appreciate it, sir. We'll access you again soon, but thank you so much for giving us some time.
Yeah, let's talk after the Gophers win the Frozen Four here.
You got it. Tom Chorsky, nice enough to join us on News Talk 830 WCCO. When we come back, I paid a visit to Target Field today because the Minnesota Twins were there. We'll visit with one of them. Stay with us. Welcome back to the big show, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO, your home to the Minnesota Twins and Timberwolves. It was a clunker last night for the Timberwolves, by the way. It's really fun out there, though. You get out there and you can feel a little bit of that playoff vibe. The fans in this town understand, they know what's up, they know where this team is at, and they've embraced it now, and they've decided that they want to be a part of it. And so it's a good crowd despite bad weather. And you say, well, bad weather, the game was indoors. If you had to walk last night, I got soaked about three different times yesterday in that driving rain. And remember, they closed the skyways at 6 o'clock because of, you know, fear of violence and all that goes on in downtown Minneapolis. They don't want storefronts getting broken into. Oops, I'm not supposed to talk about that. But anyway, they do, so your walks are sometimes longer unless you park in that ramp, you know, right next to the Target Center. Then you can walk across and go to the game. But anyway, it was a good first half, entertaining, offensive. But in the second half, I mean, if somebody would have told you, hey, one of these teams heading for the playoffs, the other one's just playing out the season, you'd go, yeah, I can see that. It's obvious. Washington's much better than the Wolves. They look great. Ishii Smith was great. Afalo was great. There was some fun stuff out there, but not for the Timberwolves. So, and then today I go across the street in that Target Field. The weather's still not good, but the Twins are practicing. And they're preparing for the home opener, which has been delayed by a day. And it's cold and it's dreary, and you'd think, boy, that's a tough place to practice, to get ready for a game. But it's baseball, and it's a home opener, and you're playing in the big leagues, and that supersedes everything. That's what I found out when I sat down with Twins catcher Ryan Jeffers.
Later.
Ryan, a cold day to start a practice. How does it feel when you get out here and it's just cold?
You know, honestly, I could care less. It's so nice to be back in the Twin Cities, be back up north. Florida was a little different weather for sure. But, you know, I think all of us are so excited to be up here and get the season rolling. So it's just all excitement from here.
As a catcher, the ice talk about throw inside when it's cold. Do you set up and you think about that in the game plan?
No, not really. Nowadays, guys they stay warm pretty much for the most of the game. You might get your hands around you a little bit more if it does go in there, but it's a strength and strength. You know, you stick to the game plan and pitch how it is.
What did you learn down in Florida about this team and the pitching staff?
Yeah, you know, we're super excited about the squad we have. You know, offensively, we're going to do what we're going to do. The pitching staff, though, it's got some really good talent on it. Some veteran guys are going to lead the young guys that we have to rely on for play some big roles this year. I think the pitchers are going to put up some really good numbers. Starters are going to really make some quality starts and then give us the bullpen that has some really talented arms in it.
Ryan, in game one, what did you see from him?
With Joe?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to, you saw him a little bit last year. He's gotten a good fastball. He's done a lot of work on his off-speed this year, so he doesn't have to rely on that one pitch as much. But he's going to be the same guy he always is. He's going to go out there, attack the hitters, be cool, calm, collective, you know, not much rattles that guy. So I think it's a really good, exciting spot for him, and it's going to be fun.
Last question. Carlos Correa comes into the clubhouse, and his presence is what?
Just, it brings us just a wealth of knowledge that is so, so great to have in that locker room. You know, he's had so much playoff experience, and really brings a good, awesome, like, teammate. You know, he's a level-headed guy that's always happy to be at the field, but then just, you can always go to him with so many different baseball questions.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Yeah, I was like, you know, thank you, sir. Good luck. I think that's apropos, particularly before the start of a big season like that. You'll hear every game right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. That's what we do. and we do it really well. Dan and Corey with the call throughout this storage season. Chris Atterbury, I hadn't seen him for a while either. Saw him out there today. Didn't get a chance to talk to him. Just gave him kind of a thumbs up. He gave me a thumbs up. Kind of like, you know, good to see you, and it's good to have baseball back. I think that's what he meant. When we come back, tomorrow they are inducting some new people into the Minnesota Basketball Hall of Fame. One of them is Terry Kunze, a storied career, but where he becomes just as interesting is he watches and evaluates more basketball teams and players than anybody that I know. And he's got the acumen to do it. You know, I could give you my thoughts, but I can't stand that when guys of my ilk, you know, I played 1 year of college basketball. And so that doesn't qualify me to evaluate basketball at the highest level, which is what you as the audience deserve. That's why I bring in these people that are much more qualified than I to break it down, because that's what you the audience deserve. You don't deserve somebody that goes, hey, saw on Twitter, like I posted on Twitter, I said, Timberwolves don't play defense very well. Not good enough. We got to be better than that, and we will be. Terry Kunze when we come back. Welcome back to Sports to the Max. There's all kinds of basketball to still talk about. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Terry Kunze, who tomorrow will be recognized going into the Minnesota Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Mike, thank you. I appreciate that.
Pretty good class of people. Larry McKenzie, Barry Wohler, Annie Adams, Zach. There's some people in there that are pretty good.
Yes, there are. You know, the funniest thing is I've watched most of them, all of them play.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, yes. Well,
Barry Wohler was one. You know, I played against him a little bit in high school. He's a little older than I, but he was really something because he always won.
Yes, he did. You know, Barry, I got to know Barry pretty well when he was coaching at Hamlin.
Sure.
And we would talk a little basketball on the phone on what he's doing and what he's going to do, and then he left Hamlin and got the job at Orono,
yep.
In which he's done a good job, and they were one game from the state.
Yeah, and they won a state tournament years ago with his son playing, yeah.
That's right.
Terry, how has basketball changed in Minnesota since you were dominating in Duluth?
Well, I think basketball in general, you know, the AAU is what's made basketball in Minnesota developing great players. And I think the difference might be a little bit that the best players are better, but the other players might not be. And I think that's because, you know, a high school kid today, when he's on an AAU team, they play about 40 games, 50 games, and that's got to take away some of your time for practicing.
I agree.
I used to tell parents that, you know, if your son's not going to be one of the top two or three, why don't you just watch and see how many times he shoots the ball in practice?
Yep.
It might be only four or five times.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of happened to basketball all over the country.
Yep, for sure. So if you're, you know, if you go to those AAU programs, as you may, I always thought one of the best things about it is you get to see the competition. So you get to see what the standard is, at least, that you're up against in your age group, maybe on your own team. But for these kids, how do you recommend that they develop as players when, just to your point, the focus is those four or five games on the weekend?
Well, I think they've got to develop good drills that they can work on with a buddy, you know, rather than going, you know, if you're in the gym shooting by yourself, you know, actually 50% of the time is getting the ball and going back out to shoot. But if you're with a friend, you could shoot, he could rebound for you, and he could shoot, you could rebound for him. And another thing is to make your practices or your drills something that's a little bit more physical. For example, if I'm going to shoot jump shots on the elbow, if I shoot a jump shot, I should run three steps one way, three steps back, get another pass, shoot another one, then run three steps back. So you're really creating situations that you would have in a game rather than just standing there shooting. And there's a lot of stuff is... Another simple thing is that if you're talking to a player and you're telling the kid, If the defender plays way off you, what's he telling you to do? And he says, shoot. Yeah, right. What if he's up in your face? What's he telling you to do? Drive. I said, so in effect, you know what the player is telling you to do. So if you look at him, when you get in a game, he's not too far back. He's not too close. So you really don't know what to do. So how do you tell yourself what you should do? And with a foot fake. So if I step at the defender and he doesn't move, I'm gone. He's got to be gone. And if he does move and you step back, now you got him in a defensive position where if he comes up on it, you can go either way. But it's a matter of the great players. I always tell them, if you look at the guy's jersey and you play a lot of one-on-one, he is telling you what to do. And a lot of coaches don't teach it that way. They teach this step and that step. But in reality, you're trying to close the gap on the defender so you can get to the basket.
Understood. So and you know, I watched the other night in the Final Four, and you watch a 16-point lead dissipate. What happened? How did they did it almost at will and look like they might run away with it for a minute there, the way they were playing in the second half? What happens in that situation, Terry?
Well, you know, I thought that the guard started forcing some tough shots. I think they were the best guard was 5 for 24, and you know, and then Kansas started making some jump shots, which they weren't making earlier, and that kind of when that happens to you, their defense, the defense stepped up, and they got on the boards. And, you know, momentum is a funny thing, Mike. It's hard to stop it. Last night at the Wolves game, you know, Washington was...
Yeah, okay, so what happened in that game? Washington was outstanding in the second half. What happened?
They just had it going, Mike. That's why any team in the NBA can beat any other team in the NBA. It's proven. Memphis, for example, Morant has missed 23 games. He's their best player, right? Tyus Jones plays there.
Yep.
Of 23 games Morant has missed, Memphis is 20-3. How do you figure that?
Is that right?
Yes, they're 20-3. So what that means is Tyus is doing what he does best. He distributes, right?
Yep.
And he allows the other scorers to score. Whereas Morant, when he plays, he kind of dominates the scoring and kind of dominates the ball.
Yep.
I don't know if you watch Dallas. I don't know how anybody could play with Doncic. I mean, he has the ball in his hands 80% of the time, and all the other guys do when they catch it, if they have a shot, they shoot it. But I've never seen anything like it.
Do the Timberwolves have a chance to go, forget the play-in game, do they have a chance to go beyond the first round of the playoffs?
I don't, they're going to be, if they win their first game, they're going to be playing Memphis, who's very good.
Yep.
Okay. If they lose and then win the second game, they're going to be playing Phoenix, which is also very good. I think it'll be hard for them to move on. I really do.
I do too. And they've made strides. But you're just not quite sure. And defensively, some nights, like last night, you see Russell saying to Edwards, where were you? The guy, I had to tackle the guy because he slid by and you weren't even looking. Are they just that? Is that a communication thing? Is that a what?
Well, you know, we got to give some credit to the other team. The NBA is such a league that's so scouted, Mike. I mean, when a player goes home after a game, he probably has a film of everything he did when he touched the ball. I mean, it's just, they know what you're doing. When you have a 24-second clock, if they can take your first option away, put a little pressure, but can be down, take the first option away, you know, you've got 9-10 seconds to score. And it's a tough game. I mean, I think there's a lot of coaching in the NBA. It's a real coaches league. Little things to do to combat things like running the double. When do you double off the dribble, or do you double on the catch? And, you know, Minnesota, when they're playing well, are very good. You know, and overall, for the year, their defense has not been bad. But when you get a team that's hot, and, you know, they're making jump shots, all of a sudden they're getting lobs for dunks. It's a tough game. You know, they play every other night, or sometimes two or three games in a week.
Yeah.
And travel. It's got to be people say they don't play hard, but that's a joke.
I mean, that is a joke. They play hard, man. And those charters, I think, took care of that years ago.
And then the other thing is that made the NBA, you know, the rules now have made it a scoring game.
Yep.
Whereas before, you know, you could hand check. And
yes.
Games were 98 to 91
yep.
or something.
Yep, hand on the hip was common, yep.
And now you touch them and it's a foul. The only time that it's tough for the referees, I think, is the referees have to look at defensive 3 seconds, offensive 3 seconds. They have to look at, I think the NBA should innovate 3 rules, which I think would save the game. Number one, allow any defense. Because at 24 seconds, Mike, how many times is the offense going to play against a zone?
Yeah.
They're going to beat the one up the court.
Yep.
The other thing is eliminate the goaltending. Once the ball hits the rim, it should be free. You don't want to lose a game with the referee at half court calling a goaltend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened.
Yep.
And the other thing is it's a very simple rule, but they have to do it. They should widen the court 6 inches on each side, and that would allow you a little more room on the court and would not make it necessary to change seating at all. The court is now too small. How many times do you see guys step out of bounds on the sideline? Happens all the time.
Yeah. It happened in the college game the other night, too, yeah. Okay, last question. Last question for before we go. If you were Ben Johnson coaching the Gophers right now, you would spend most of your time doing what in terms of recruiting this offseason?
Well, he's got his high school recruits.
You know, yep, they're spoken for, yep.
And I think he's got the best, too. I mean, I think Carrington and Payne are the best, I think, are the best two players in the state. And now he's got to work the transfer portal. Today's game has changed. You can't win with freshmen. It's changed. Too many teams bring in that senior, a more mature player that fills in holes in their team, and it's tough now. And what's going to happen with this portal? I think I was listening to the Connecticut coach who said there's 371 Division I basketball teams for women in the country. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But there's like 861 in the transfer portal, and he said that, you know what? Do you think there's going to be 300 girls who can't find a team?
Correct.
And the team they leave will not take them back.
Correct.
I mean, look at Willis from the Gophers.
Yep.
Do you think his first choice was going to Charleston in South Carolina?
No.
Think of that. No.
No. No. That's where he ended up.
He didn't. And so he ended up there because that's all he could get.
Yep.
And so he ended up back at the U. And the transfer portal would make things just unbelievable disorganized. I mean, I think the high school kid is the one that's going to suffer.
Yeah.
Because you got to leave two scholarships open to get that transfer portal. Yep. Look at what there are, 1,500 players in the transfer portal for men now.
Yep. Yeah, and that tells you
it's
something.
It's another world,
too.
Mike. It's another world.
Yep. Terry, thank you so much. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame honor. I'll see you over there tomorrow.
Mike, I appreciate you calling. You take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Terry Kunze on News Talk 830 WCCO. Back with more compelling thoughts, if I can find a guest after this. Tubbsy, you played basketball for Terry Kunze's brother?
Yeah, I did. The funny thing is, like when I was talking to him, I'm like, hey, are you you related to Bill? He's like, yeah, it's my brother. I'm like, yeah, I played for Bill Kunze in Ballatin back in 88 through like 91. So,
really? So and, yeah. And his brother was like, what is a coach?
No, he was hard.
Yeah.
He was hard, absolutely. But you knew that whatever he was saying, he was right. Even if you didn't agree with him, you're like, you knew there was something about him that you were getting a good coach. And I respect Coach Kunze. He taught me a lot about the game of basketball.
Now, Terry Kunze, they say, I never saw him play. He was in the early 60s. But they say he was the first big guard that would take the ball, go between his legs, behind his back, all those things, mm-hmm. and put on a show, and people would come from miles around to watch him play at Duluth East mm-hmm. when he played. Was his brother like that? Did he have game? Because generally speaking, if you play high school basketball, like I played for Daryl Kroon, a Hall of Famer from Edgerton, the famous Edgerton story, I think he made 110 straight free throws one day in practice, and I used to play him in horse, and I mean, this guy could flat out, he could shoot it from anywhere. Did Bill have some of that game too?
Oh yeah. If Coach was going to come out, if Coach had to come out and show you how to do a drill,
yeah,
you knew you were going to get schooled.
Okay.
And you were going, no matter what you thought, whether even if it was something as simple as setting a screen, or you know, if you had to run the baseline, just something very simple, not even like shooting technique wise. It's like he would show you exactly what you needed to do. And you're like, oh, yeah. You know, he's not one of these guys that just talks about it. Like you say, Maxie, he can apply the principle in a point that you can understand it. And yeah, I mean, you didn't want to get into a shooting contest with him because, I mean, you were not going to beat Coach Kunze in any shooting contest.
So
it didn't matter.
He was a little bit like his brother, huh? Basketball junkie.
Yeah. I never saw Terry. And the funny thing was, like, I knew he was from Duluth.
Yeah.
And I knew the Kunze name, but I just never
put it together.
I never put it together until now. And I was actually just DMing Coach Kunze. I still call him Coach Kunze. We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was DMing him. I'm like, hey, you know, is your brother Terry's like, yeah, that's my brother. And I'm like, okay. You know, I was telling him, you know, you're talking to him and everything. And so we just kind of were, you know, reminiscing here. So I was kind of, as they call it, half-assed paying attention, Maxie.
Not you when my show's on. You'd never do that to me.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, they had a pretty good, you know, one of their brothers, too, I believe, played for the Boston Celtics, Bill Kunze.
Oh, that was my, you mean Bob?
Bob Kunze.
Bob Kunze?
I mean, I'm kidding. It's Bob Kunze.
Bob Kunze, yeah. See, you have
to. Joking. I blew the punchline.
See, that's what. See, Maxie, between you blowing the punchline and me not paying attention, it's a good end to an hour.
Yeah. It is. Apropos, too, I might add. Yeah, all right. More good wit when we come back in the next hour. PJ Hill, he played basketball at Ohio State. His sister played the WNBA. What did he think of the women's Final Four? He's also part of the movement in Minneapolis to try to get things cleaned up and sorted out. There have been a lot of setbacks, a lot of setbacks. What does he see as the city's strength going forward? That and bringing pickleball to the urban as well, getting kids from the city involved in a sport that's easy to play. All that in the 8 o'clock hour, I promise you, and I won't botch my next joke, I promise you, on Sports to the Max.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.